So we try to peacefully coexist with nature here in Florida, right?
Of course.
But sometimes that isn't easy, and we've got some examples of that coming up.
Okay. Well, prying life from the jaws of death, how a Florida man saved the day and a life. We'll show you that story.
Nice. And you've heard the expression finders keepers,
right?
Well, one Florida man tried to take that to the next level.
Oh, all that and more coming up on this week's episode of the Florida Freak Show.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, step right up for the Florida Freak Show.
Welcome back to the Florida Freak Show. I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell.
And if you've ever read a Florida news story online or seen a Sunshine State newscast, you know that Florida's greatest export are weird stories about the people who live and play here. And we have a few of those today, don't we, Kirsten?
Surprise, surprise, we do.
I can't believe it.
But of course, before we get to the rest of our stories ripped from the headlines, I need to remind everyone there is still time to cast your votes for the freakiest Florida news stories of 2020.
Yep.
And it's super easy to do that. You just visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/FLA Freak Show. We are posting the strangest stories for every month this year, and we need your votes to help us pick the freakiest for our year-end show.
It's 2020, people. Please vote.
Yeah, it's an election year.
Come on. Your voting job is not done yet. Let's
do this.
That's
right. It didn't end in November. Yeah. On to the headlines.
Headlines.
Our first headline comes from Corey's former stomping grounds,
the Fort Myers News Press.
A Florida story that has had the entire world talking, really.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Wilbanks is a 74-year-old retiree who lives in Estero, Florida. He loves nature, so when he was asked to place a wildlife camera in his backyard, he was happy to oblige. He did not expect to become a celebrity from it, but that's exactly what happened.
Uh-huh.
When the Florida Wildlife Federation and the F-Stop Foundation were reviewing the footage from his backyard wildlife monitor, they found a dramatic rescue.
Wow.
An alligator crept out of the pond in Wilbanks' backyard and snagged his three-month-old Cavalier King Charles Spaniel puppy, dragging it back into the pond.
Wow.
The video shows Wilbanks jumping into the water, pulling the alligator back to the surface, and prying the gator's jaws open to set his puppy free.
Unreal.
The dog, whose name is Gunner, by the way, has since recovered from a puncture wound. Wilbanks says he hurt his hand in the rescue and had to get a tetanus shot, but he is also doing just fine.
Richard Wilbanks is a Florida superhero.
He really is.
75 years young, whips into action, grabs the gator with the dog in its mouth underwater.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I'm just unbelievable. I'm just
flabbergasted.
Like, awestruck by it. And then pries the dog free from the gator's claws. And he does this with such ease and as if it's no big deal.
Right, like it's just an everyday kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the most impressive part, of course. Never stops chomping on his cigar the whole time.
Yeah, he's got a stogie in his mouth even when his face is under the water. Yeah,
it's like
pulls his head up, stogie still in the mouth.
Never spilled my beer. Did it all without spilling my beer. No, it's incredible.
So I have to be the cynic here.
Yeah.
Because every single person in Florida said the exact same thing when they saw this video.
Yeah, I know.
Which was, well, it was just a 4-foot gator.
Just a 4-footer.
Just a 4-footer. That's all. I don't care. The guy's still a badass.
Yeah. I agree completely. Not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes they chomp on cigars and have sleeveless t-shirts.
Yeah, sleeveless t-shirts.
Yeah, no, Gunner is just a lucky pup. I mean, this is just...
And adorable, too,
and
by
adorable.
The way.
Have you ever heard of a Cavalier
King Charles
Spaniel puppy? Like, I've never heard of that.
I have, actually, because, you know, I'm a big fan of the Westminster Dog Show and really all dog shows.
Probably won Best in Show or...
The Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. No, it's in
It's a working dog.
It's in the hunting group.
Hunting group, okay.
They actually, I do watch, the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel in the hunting group.
Has a wonderful gait.
Yeah, well, actually, interestingly enough, they were great for hunting because they could actually keep pace with a horse galloping.
Oh, that's impressive.
So a good hunting dog, right?
Yeah.
Apparently also a good prey if you're an alligator.
Yeah, I guess so.
So the hunter becomes the prey, something along those lines.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I've steered us way off course talking about
you,
Gunner.
You really have.
I'm just glad that Gunner's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, There are so many older Floridians in Florida, empty nesters whose kids have moved away.
Right.
Really, your dog becomes your child, or your cat, for that matter.
Absolutely.
Even more so than, you know, when you have a household pet growing up.
Of course.
I feel like this guy, Mr. Wilbanks here, yeah, he developed like the mom strength.
Oh,
like
sure.
Like that crazy strength that the mom gets when the toddler's under the car and she can lift the 4,000-pound vehicle off of her toddler.
Yeah.
This is what he had. Just,
I mean, he did. He swung into action and he did it with... He did. It was all instinct. I agree with you completely. He literally like tapped into his mom gene and just took over that whole situation. And it's just amazing that it was captured on camera. Like, I would give anything to have something heroic that I've ever done, which is probably nothing, but just captured on camera. That would be so incredible.
I have some pretty heroic karaoke performances you've done caught
on camera. Oh, right, yeah. Those are borderline, like, those are hero status.
You're right. But interestingly enough, you know, we have had a ton of stories on this podcast about, you know, interesting things caught on a Ring doorbell.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one couple had an alligator on their front door that they caught on their Ring doorbell.
Oh, yeah.
But this is next level. This is... He lives next to a wildlife preserve. He
yep.
loves nature.
Yep.
He, you know, gives them consent to put the thing in his yard.
Yeah.
And this is what happens.
It's incredible. It really, really is. Like, I can't stop saying incredible. It's just when you watch the video, I think you feel the same way. It's just unreal.
And Gunnar's adorable.
Yeah.
And they make a very cute couple.
They do make a cute couple.
I know he's married. I have not seen his wife in any of the news stories.
Right.
She apparently hides from the limelight.
It's all about Richard and Gunnar.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of friends who don't live in Florida who mm-hmm. always, when they see stuff like this, ask us, well, you don't have alligators in your part of Florida, do you?
Uh-huh. We do.
If there's water, there's alligators.
Yeah.
This particular story, what, you think maybe 15 miles away from us, 20 miles away from us?
It's very, very close.
At very most,
yeah.
Our next story comes from even closer to home for us.
Yeah.
Our very own neck of the woods, and it's another gator story.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the exacta, the gator exacta.
The gator exacta, there you go.
And this one comes from Wink News.
Your old stomping grounds.
Interestingly enough, it's like old home week.
It really
is. On the Florida Freak Show podcast. Yeah. So Cape Coral resident Melissa Malouse heard a gurgling noise coming from the storm drain in her front yard. And when she and her husband peeked inside, they discovered a 7-foot gator trapped in
Whoa,
there.
Oh, wow.
So they called Florida Fish and Wildlife, who sent a trapper, but it turns out the gator was dead, at least by the time he showed up, and that's not his line of work, so he told the couple to call the city to remove it.
Ain't my job.
Once the city hadn't come the next day, Melissa called FWC again, and this time they brought a crane to remove the rotting gator, but then left it on the lawn, where it stayed in the Florida sun for another full day.
Not good.
So by the time the city arrived on day 3, it had caused quite the neighborhood spectacle and also smelled terrible. The city removed the gator carcass and says they will dispose of it properly, whatever that means.
I feel like that this story, like what happens in it, doesn't take this long if the gator isn't dead. If that's a live gator, I think everyone's moving a little faster to get to the scene, just like the trapper did getting there so quickly. But wow, I mean, it's just sounds awful having to deal with that smell.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
I mean, if this were something that happened up north, not that you have gators up north, but if this were something that happened this time of year up north where it's 40 or 50 degrees out, you know, maybe a deer gets hit by a car and ends up on your lawn.
It's like being in a freezer.
Yeah, it's 40 or 50 degrees out. Yeah. Somebody's probably going to come and just try and take it off your lawn and you know.
But you probably won't smell a ton of what's.
Exactly. It's not going to get stinky.
No.
Here, the average temperature in November in Cape Coral is 82 degrees.
Yeah.
Which, for our friends who use Celsius, who use the metric system, about 28 degrees.
Yeah.
All right. So it's warm.
Yeah.
And we're out of rainy season.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's warm and it's sunny.
Warm, sunny, dry.
Beautiful weather for everything except a rotting carcass in your yard.
Yeah.
Terrible weather. Terrible carcass weather.
Nothing says city pride quite like a rotting gator carcass in the yard. I just really believe that.
Yeah.
And how does one dispose of a gator? They said that they're going to do it properly. But what does that, like you said, what does that mean?
I'm not sure exactly what that means, but this is definitely, like you said, government working at its most efficient.
Yes.
You know, well, that's not my job. You need to call the gator department.
Three days of red tape before we get this thing all figured out.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
But gators and storm drains are not uncommon around here. I remember, oh gosh, probably 5 or 6 years ago, there was a big one, like a 10, 12 footer that was in a storm drain.
Right.
Not far from my mom's house.
Over
in front of a CVS, interestingly enough, that they had to once again pull out with a crane. And I think that one was
probably
alive.
Got stuck, too. It probably was in there and just eating whatever came to it. And don't you feel like it probably just got stuck in there?
Probably, yeah. Do you remember a few, it wasn't that long ago, maybe 2 months ago, we had a story about a kid who dropped their cell phone into a storm drain.
Oh, yeah.
And crawled down in there to get the cell phone. Kids,
nope.
There could be a gator in there.
Yeah, there could be Pennywise in there.
Oh,
I don't know which is worse to run into.
If I hear gurgling in my storm drain,
yeah. Pennywise would be worse.
I don't want to find Tim Curry down there.
No.
But back to the temperature thing.
Yeah.
Just for a minute, because it was very warm the week that this happened. Not so warm this week.
Mm.
Like, December 1st happened, and we got winter.
We did.
For Florida.
Yeah, it hit really hard this morning.
It did.
I'm used to, you know, for me going to work, I can pretty much just wear, like, you know, like a polo and some shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
Usually warm all year
round.
No
socks, and boat shoes.
Right, boat shoes or whatever, because I work sort of in, like, a little touristy community. But, so today, I just did what I normally do, like, getting ready, throw on a pair of shorts. And I just asked, like, one of our devices, like, what's the weather like right now? And it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to turn.
It like, was like 56 degrees at 8,
yeah,
54
degrees. So I'm like, okay, better put on some jeans. Better grab a coat or something to go. And I'm so glad I did. I had just a little T-shirt hoodie when I first went there. And I ended up grabbing my jacket and wearing it because I was shivering. Today, just shivering.
This is what happens when you live in Florida. You get so used to the heat that when it is shorts weather in the rest of the United States, we're freezing.
And I love being cold. I love being cold, but not right now.
So I work from home, and for a while I was wondering, you know, am I ever going to have an opportunity to wear like a sweater? Because our condo doesn't really cool off that easily.
No.
And today I wore a sweater.
Ooh.
And socks.
What? Socks?
Socks.
What are those?
Can you imagine? Interestingly enough, though, by about 11 o'clock. Oh, I made hot chocolate, too. Oh,
perfect.
Because that's what you do when it's only 63 degrees in Florida.
You might as well make it while you got it, because you're not going to get these kind of temperatures all the time.
Yeah, the socks were off by noon.
Yeah.
The sweater had been replaced by a short sleeve T-shirt by 1 o'clock, and by 2 o'clock, the air conditioning had already come back on in our condo because it had gotten above like 77 degrees.
Right.
So winter lasted about 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's over, and you know who knows what it's going to be like tomorrow.
Exactly, we'll see.
So back to alligators.
Yep.
I saw an article yesterday that freaked me out about alligators.
Really?
So you know how we have these little lizards in our yard?
Yep.
Right? It's
like
a Florida thing.
And,
yeah, little tiny 3-4 inch
little
lizards.
Guys.
Not scary ones at all. They're kind of cute.
Adorable.
They are cute. Well, if, like, for example, you have a cat and it catches one, the lizard's tail can break off and the lizard will go on with life and will grow a new tail.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Not terrifying at all.
No.
Just found out that alligators can grow part of their tail back.
Their tail, really?
They can regenerate part of their tail. And that is a little bit terrifying.
That is pretty nuts, because the tail is such an important part of, like, you know, how they, like, they destroy
the
prey.
Death roll.
The death roll. It's part of their, like, sort of fighting strategy and everything. I mean, it's incredibly powerful and very muscular. It's hard to believe that they can regenerate it.
So, okay, full confession, TLDR, Too long, didn't read the whole thing, but read enough of it.
Yeah.
Read enough of it.
Yeah.
They can't regenerate bone.
Ah.
Lizards can regenerate bone. Alligators can only regenerate cartilage.
Cartilage, yep.
And skin.
And skin.
And I believe some muscle.
So sure.
They can grow something back, but they're not going
to grow. It probably won't be the same as it was.
Yeah, they're not going to grow like an 8-foot tail back.
Still pretty incredible.
Yeah. I mean, if I lost a toe, that thing's not growing back.
I guess there's a reason why gators have been around since the,
prehistoric times.
Yeah. they can beat anything.
Yeah, they beat us in the genetic lottery,
that's
clearly.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so our next story comes to us from Fox 13, Tampa Bay.
All right.
This one about 71-year-old Douglas Hatley of Lakeland, who was driving down I-4 when he spotted a downed metal utility pole on the side of the road in Hillsborough County. So he did what any of us would do.
Yeah.
He pulled over, he strapped it to the top of his 1997 Camry with telephone wire and drove away.
Of course.
Now, Hatley's car is a little over 15 feet long, and the pole extended well beyond the trunk.
Wow.
He didn't get very far. A witness called Florida Highway Patrol, who pulled Hatley over in East Tampa. He told the officer that he had picked up the pole hoping to sell it as scrap metal for cash, and didn't know it was illegal to remove, even if it had fallen.
Uh-huh.
By the way, a scrapyard would not have taken it.
No.
They actually take photos, they take fingerprints, they take personal information to submit to FDLE when people sell scrap metal. And items like manhole covers and guardrails and street signs and shopping carts and utility poles actually all require proof of ownership.
Yeah, they probably don't want you just taking that stuff if you can help it. Is it weird that the first takeaway for me in this story was, why does he have telephone wires to strap it to the roof? That's like, is he that just carry around telephone wire in his
just
car
in
all the
case?
Time? Just in case you need it. You know, you never know when you're going to need a wired telephone.
I assume that this is, industrial outdoor telephone wire that was probably part of the whole utility pole package deal.
That's what I'm guessing too, but it did strike me as like, why is he wrapping it?
Steal a telephone pole from the side of the road, get the wire for free, you know?
That's, hey, there you go. Yeah, and it's good to see that scrap yards do get all this info before taking it in, because I can't believe that the guy didn't realize it was going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never cool to like take that sort of stuff. Believe me.
And I know, believe me, I know we were both unemployed for many months.
Yeah.
Times are tough.
They are
right
tough.
Now. Yep. And I'm guessing if you're driving around a 97 Camry, times have been tough for you for a while.
Oh, sure.
But you've got to think that taking a downed utility pole is, if nothing else, going to attract some curiosity by the officials, right?
Right. And I have to wonder, this guy may be used to like strapping stuff to the roof of his car to just think, yeah, I'll just put this thing on the roof of my car. What harm could that possibly do? It's not like he's driving a pickup or anything like that. It's like, it's a small car.
It reminds me of back in your hometown when one of my friends moved, and she only moved about 8 blocks, and the only reasonably large size piece of furniture she had was a couch that would not fit in her little station wagon.
Oh, huh. Yeah.
So we set it up on the top of her station wagon, but we didn't have any rope.
Just holding it.
So my boyfriend at the time and I literally sat on the windowsills of the car holding it in place while she drove to her new house.
I honestly think that might have been safer than just putting your arm up.
She drove very carefully and slowly. Yeah. I will say that. But, at least he didn't do that. So this story.
Yeah.
Best advertisement ever for a 97 Camry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can carry a gigantic utility pole on the top of it. That's a durable car.
Pretty solid. There was a time where I was a big fan of the Camry back in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm sure the 97 Camry, I can't say for sure what the body style looks like, but I was a big fan. I really wanted maybe a Toyota Camry or a Corolla or I had an Accord for a long time. But yeah, there was a time where I really wanted one. If I knew that it had this capability, all about it, right?
Now, during the recession, there were a lot of people stealing metal.
Yeah.
And I assume it's probably happening again. I mean, around here, we had folks, stealing air conditioning units all the time.
Oh, yeah.
The company that I used to work for, we had stores and had multiple stores where he had to replace the air conditioning units frequently because people would steal them to sell the copper wire.
Sure.
But this is like next level stuff. This is not just an air conditioning unit that you can fit in the trunk of your car.
No, no, not at all. It's crazy. Just crazy. This actually reminds me of a story, too. It's probably why I was like, the guy has to know kind of what a big deal it was. When I was younger, I actually...
You were younger?
I know. It's hard to believe. But one time I was heading home from school, and I decided, I'm just used to taking this road all the time, so I know like every sort of nook and cranny with it or whatever. And when I was coming up to the end of this off ramp, I noticed that the stop sign, or maybe it's the on ramp because I'm coming to another,
whichever,
whatever.
The ramp.
Yeah, I noticed that the stop sign that's usually always there was no longer there, and it was laying on the side of the road.
Just lying on the ground.
Yeah, so this is pretty late at night. Nobody's around. It's pretty much pitch dark.
Dark out, yeah.
So I just something decided to just jump out at me. I was like, I'm taking this stop sign home. So I put it in the trunk of my car, and I took it home, and I think...
You rescued it like a stray kitten on the side of the road.
Oh, see, that's what I needed to hear from somebody at the time, because I remember thinking on the way home, it's like, I'm going to put this thing up on the wall of my, like, college apartment or something like that, and it'll be like...
You'll be the bee's knees.
Yeah, it'll be like a fun story, and all I could think the whole time is how racked with guilt I was... Because I knew I shouldn't have taken it. It's just,
because
it's government property. I should never have taken it or whatever. So that thing never saw a wall.
So I don't, what happened to it?
I don't even know. Like, I think I left it at my mom's house after I visited, and I just never did anything with it ever again.
Your poor mother is going to find out about this listening to this podcast.
Hopefully she turned it in or did something with it. I don't remember what I did with it.
I mean, she sold the house, so maybe the new residents of the house are now racked with guilt over
all
the fact
I know is that this was not like the size of a utility pole that I was carrying it on top.
No, it fit in the trunk of your car.
Yeah, yeah. I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for this rotten podcast.
Now, you used to take all of our aluminum cans in to be recycled
to the recycling center. Place. Yeah, and they set the bag or whatever on the massive scale and just get like, you know, $6, $7, $8, whatever it was, you know, at the time. And it was better. I mean, it was better than not recycling them at all.
What do you think you would get for a utility pole?
Oh my gosh. I mean, if I was getting like,
because those are made of steel, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Steel must not be as heavy as I think steel is in my brain. If this guy can lift it up, put it on the top of his car, and
or maybe
drive
it
off.
Wasn't as thick of a pole. Maybe it wasn't like one of those
that
has like a stoplight on it or something like that. But I don't know. It couldn't have been that heavy if it could stay on the roof of the car.
I would think you'd get a pretty penny for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So our last story comes to us from WFTV.com. Mm. A woman taking a stroll on the beach in Perdido Key made a pretty grisly discovery while she was volunteering for a beach cleanup for Ocean Hour, Florida. She discovered a body had washed up on the shore. The body was covered in seaweed and barnacles and was missing a head.
Oh.
When a witness called 911, the volunteer, identified only as Kathleen, took a closer look and was quite relieved to discover that the decapitated body was actually a decapitated department store mannequin. The mannequin must have been in the Gulf for quite some time to have collected so much sea life, but officials say, at least for now, they have no idea where the mannequin came from. They're just glad it wasn't an actual human body.
Who would throw a perfectly good mannequin into the ocean?
Well, we don't know it was a perfectly good... It's missing a head.
That's true. Well, why would you have a mannequin on a boat? Or is there like a floating department store that I'm not aware of?
Well, I mean, cruise ships have, you know, stores that sell clothing, cruise wear.
So when they're done, they just throw the mannequins over the side?
Or maybe some seniors on their senior trip. Obviously not this year.
Yeah.
Stole it. And when I say seniors, I mean high school seniors and not like shuffleboard playing cruising
those
seniors.
Ne'er-do-well blue hairs. Yeah.
Took it as some sort of a prank and threw it overboard. I don't know.
I don't know. The first thing that this story made me think of, though, is Buster. The lovable crash dummy doll.
Oh,
that
the
was
crash test dummy on Mythbusters.
Yeah, and beat up on, on Mythbusters. I don't know why, but I just loved Buster when I would watch that show because they would put him through hell and back.
Absolutely.
He'd be burned. He'd be
exploded.
He'd be dropped off of the of a high story
and
building.
From airplanes. He was electrocuted in a shower.
Insane. He had so many bad things happen to him, and he took it all with a smile or a half smile on his face, like a Mona Lisa smile on his face. Yeah, it's just I don't know why it made me think of Buster, but I guess I just missed that show.
I guess so. Yeah. You know, we've talked a lot on this podcast about how strange things wash up on Florida beaches.
Right.
Right. And yeah. A lot of times it's because, you know, there was a hurricane and a lot of stuff got knocked loose. And,
yep.
And just today I read an article that on a beach in Florida, $1.2 million worth of cocaine just washed up.
What? Wow.
Yeah. I assume that's a lot of cocaine.
Like not that kind of. That amount.
Right.
But we hear about Square Grouper getting washing
all
onshore all the time.
All sorts of stuff. There was that swordfish eyeball.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of coffee that just washed up.
Yeah.
Cafe Bustelo washed up on shore.
Stuff that falls over the sides of boats and just
and
somehow
gets washed
up
on shore. Well, so there were 11 tropical systems in the Gulf this year. I think five of them were hurricanes.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing this isn't the first crazy thing we're going to see wash up on the beach.
Oh, no.
In the panhandle coming up in the next few months, we're probably going to see a whole lot more stuff churned up by those hurricanes.
Oh, probably so. Now, I have to ask, because I was a big fan of this movie as a kid, but did you ever see the Kim Cattrall movie Mannequin?
Andrew McCarthy
in it. She's like the woman of his dreams. She
I cannot confirm or deny that.
I saw that movie a number of times. I really enjoyed it for some reason, but this whole thing feels like a sick version of that. Like maybe Andrew McCarthy just got sick of her, so he decided to just wait till she turned back into a mannequin and then beat her to the fishes.
Oh. Ooh, it's like a dark version of Mannequin meets Splash with Daryl Hannah.
Sure. Yeah. I like that idea. Like it's kind of like a Daryl Hannah mannequin that used to be a mermaid that doesn't have the tail.
All right.
Anymore.
We better write this screenplay before anybody else does.
Somebody's got
to
do it.
Somebody's stealing this idea after listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
Happy end of hurricane season.
Happy end of hurricane season. This is the best time of the year. It's the most wonderful time.
It's
of
the
year.
Most
wonderful time. I don't want to give Andy Williams any money.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, for those of you who don't live in our little part of the world, hurricane season ends on November 30th.
Yep.
And at midnight on November 30th, we all breathe a gigantic sigh of relief.
Huge sigh of relief.
Not that you can't have hurricanes and tropical systems outside.
And if you're like me,
hurricane season,
you literally look forward to the rest of the winter, where it's like beautiful weather from here on out,
and no hurricanes
to worry about until next
May
or June.
If we're hoarding toilet paper, it's not because of a hurricane.
Yes.
It's because of coronavirus. Oh. I miss the hurricane parties.
Yes, I do too.
When we worked in television on, midnight, November 30th, basically after the newscast, everybody from all the TV stations would get together and have a party to celebrate the fact that we had survived another hurricane
season.
Toast
a glass to the fact that we have survived. And
I don't
know
if they still do it.
Yeah, it's also coming off of sweeps month anyway, so it kind of works out really nicely.
Everybody was quite relieved.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just a good way to blow off steam.
Do you think they still do it?
I don't know. Well,
I mean, this year, obviously not.
I hope so. I mean, it's such a strong tradition and a lot of fun. There's no reason not to do it. I mean, if nothing else, you live in Florida during the best time of the year, so you should be celebrating.
I could use a hurricane party right now.
I could use a hurricane drink.
What? Oh, there you go. Like Pat O'Brien's hurricane.
Yeah, like a Pat O'Brien hurricane, yeah.
Well, that is all we have for this week.
Yep.
What did we learn, Corey?
I learned that not all heroes wear capes. Some wear a sleeveless t-shirt and save their puppies from the jaws of a gator.
I learned that a dead gator in your yard is actually a bigger nuisance than having a living gator in your yard.
Oh, I can believe that. I also learned that no matter how big government property might be, Florida man will claim it as for his own.
And I learned that you never know what or who is going to wash up on the shore in Florida.
You don't. You have no idea.
Those were our freakiest Florida finds for the week. And as always, you can find plenty of other wacky news stories from across the Sunshine State on our Facebook page and on our Twitter.
That's right. And we're excited to announce that you can help us pick Florida's weirdest news stories. You and you especially and other people can. All of our fans can pick Florida's weirdest news stories of 2020. And there are a lot to choose
from.
Boy,
howdy.
Please visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/FLA Freak Show. Right now, you can vote for the freakiest headlines from January all the way through August.
So hop on and vote. And while you're there, remember to follow us, like us, and share us. Again, that's at FLA Freak Show. And by the way, if you do see a Florida story that you think we missed, feel free to share it with us.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms. And please consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. And you've made it this far. There's got to be some reason you're still listening.
You sound so needy when you say that.
I love asking for them. Until next week, I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell. Until we meet again, remember to let your Florida freak flag fly.
Goodbye. Yeah,